Right, I'm Lonnie Amanati.
Hey, Lonnie.
I'm gonna read this speaker. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Again, my name is Lonnie, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Lonnie.
I'm cleaning the gate through God's grace and His mercy, this fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, thank the capital area, the journey thus far, for taking a risk and bringing me here to share my experience, strength, and hope, looking for my assets. You know, and, I when I got that topic, you know, I realized that, you know, by being in a step process, I remember in step four where it clearly stated that that's where we go looking for our assets, you know. And, I'll ask God of my understanding to help me to share a clear message, a message in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Welcome to newcomers. Welcome anybody new. I want to welcome anybody that's coming back. I want to say that we do recover. I want to say that we do recover. I want to say that no addict ever seeking recovery from active addiction need ever die. And we say that because the proof is in the way that we live. And we keep coming back and we say no matter what. No matter what, no matter what happens, come back. Keep coming. So, you know, before Narcotics Anonymous, like everybody else, you understand, you know, I was a mixed up, you know, well, you know, mixed up, confused person. You know, I had received a lot of misinformation about a lot of different things about life. I didn't know much about life on life terms. So I seek information from wherever I could get it. You know, I didn't know anything about the disease of addiction. You know, I just knew that when I got a substance in me, it changed my behavior and attitude, and it gave me some instant courage, you know, that I could now become who I thought I wanted to be. So I used a lot of years. And like everybody else, the gift of desperation was placed on me. In 1986, I came into the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And I say that in desperation is because at that time, I knew that it was either going on to the bitter end. And I came to that crossroad and I surrendered. When I say I surrendered that I knew that I needed some help. I knew then that I had a drug problem. For the first time in my life, I recognized that I had a drug problem. Out of all the using, you know, where I thought that people, you know, that had abscess holes in their arm, not small abscesses, but big abscesses, and, you know, anybody that I thought that was worse off in the conditions of the degradation that we was in, they was an addict. I weren't, because I'm not that bad, you know. And I no longer could tell myself that lie. The lie was dead, and I surrendered. And when I surrendered in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I came in, you know, and I went to that meeting, and that's where the journey began. That's where the journey began for me. When I walked in that door, you know, the hope of the people in that room reaching out and embracing me and giving me the hugs and the love and telling me that, Lonnie, you don't ever, ever, ever have to use again. And no matter what, we're going to love you until you learn to love yourself. Now, of course, you know, I thought that, okay, where's the angle? You know, as addicts, it's always, we got to be an angle to this. Because, you know, out there on the block, we all had an angle. You know, if I told you, you understand, that I love you, well, I had an angle for that. Because with following that, I'm going to ask you for five. Well, if you ain't got five, let me get two. You ain't got two, let me get something. You know. So it was always an angle. But they said, Lonnie, we love you. And I said, okay. And they said, let us take you out to lunch. Not lunch, but to dinner. I said, dinner? Gotta be an angle to this. I'm going to this. I was waiting on it. I was waiting on it to come because I ain't had nothing anyway. You know, I was like, hey, you know, whenever they ask me for, I ain't going to have it no how. But I'm sure not going to turn down this food. So they took me down there to that diner, man. And, you know, they pulled up two long tables to get out. I don't know anybody from the capital area been around a while. Y'all might remember them two tables. I can't say the name because I don't want to promote nobody's business. But, you know, we don't endorse nothing in this fellowship. But we know, but those know what I'm talking about know about them two tables they pulled up there together. Man, they pulled them two tables there together. You know that story like the prodigal son coming home? Well, like the prodigal son coming home, man. They caught it bringing that food out there on that table. Now, y'all know where we come from, right? It was down to Huggies and a bag of potato chips, and that was it. Once in a while, I was able to get me three chicken wings. But if somebody had the other half on the plank, chicken wing wasn't in, there wasn't no happening. It was out. It was the soup kitchen the next day. Man, they put them two tables together, and they started bringing out that food, you know. Oh, you know, now I was hungry. That's what I needed at the time, and they knew that. You know, they ain't say, Lonnie, you understand, you in here, your basic test, we need you to go work a step. I was hungry. They ain't say nothing to me about no step. All they said was just keep coming. Let us love you. You know, now I'm just telling my story. You understand, and my story is not the blueprint. Oh, we all got a story. But that's what makes the program of Narcotics Anonymous, you understand, it makes it so beautiful because of the diversity in here, you know. So anyway, they pulled them two tables together and they gave me the menu and said, order. Now, order, you know what I order. I don't know about order. I said, give me a cheeseburger and some fries. Because that's all I knew how to order. I ordered them cheeseburgers and fries, and let me tell you, it tastes like filet mignon. It was like filet mignon for me, you know. So anyway, like we went on back down to you know to the meeting. You know, we went on back down there and in fellowship. You know, they took me in and they loved me. You know, now what we're saying, where I'm going with this, you understand it, because you know we're in a journey. The journey thus far, because once we come in here, we need to understand, you understand, the journey started a long time ago. It's just that I was lost. I was lost. But the journey, you understand, when I was able to come in and surrender and join and get involved in this journey, you understand, you know, I love it, you know, and I love that this journey continues is because so much more will be revealed. You know, on any journey, more will be revealed. You know, we're going to get to that. But anyway, it continued, you know, and, you know, I kept coming back to meetings, You know, they say, Lonnie, you know, some things that you need to do somewhere around there, around 30 days. I remember that, you know, they said, you know, you need to get a sponsor. You know, we suggest, you know, and all these suggestions, you know, get active in the fellowship, you know, get involved, you know. So I got involved. I got involved early on in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You understand? I got involved. You know, when I said getting involved, you know, I took the risk, you know, of going to a business meeting, you know, and becoming the chairperson, picking up the butt cans after the meeting, picking up butts off the floor, you know. And when I began to do that, it started to make me become feeling a part of. You know, I became a part of. I began to feel a part of the program. I began to feel a part of the fellowship. You know, and then they used to go to them dances, you understand. Like every month they would have a dance. You know, they would have an N.A. dance, you know. And, you know, I look forward to doing that. You know, I look forward because, you know, I never really remember leaving. After the dance, I didn't remember nothing. I remember, like, you know, we get 2-3 pints of that Twister, you know. Right, Butch? We get 2-3 pints of that Twister, and that's all I remember. You know, I don't remember anything after that. But I remember going to those dances and you know, at the time, you know, I really didn't know that much about dancing. I done practice a little bit now, you know, but you know, I got out there on the floor and I just enjoyed life, man. Life. I said, wow, I can do it. Because all my life, I didn't know I could get out there and have fun without using something. You know, it wasn't no such thing as, you know, like, y'all having fun, okay, where is it at? You know, it was either in the kitchen, somebody had it in their pocket, or where is it at? Let me get mine so I can get out here and have some fun too. But anyway, ain't we glad that fun over? Glad that fun is over. Anyway, we continue in this program on this journey, you know, and as I continued in the program, I realized that I wanted what y'all had. I wanted what y'all had to offer. And I became willing to make the effort to do what y'all was doing to get it. I wanted to have, you understand, the happiness, the joy, and free. I wanted that freedom that y'all had. I wanted the freedom, you understand, to be able to come in and sit in a meeting, you understand, and be able to raise my hand, you understand, and talk about, you understand, what was going on in my life. Because I had never had the courage in my life to tell anybody anything what was going on. You know, I was a stuffer, man. You know, I was a stuffer. That's one of my character defects, man. You know, I was a stuffer, man. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't tell nobody nothing. And I weren't telling anybody nothing. Y'all, look, you know, no. And the reason why, you understand, because of being fear, all of those things, you know. So I began to take a chance and raise my hand and talk about, you know, the good, the bad, the indifference, you know. I began to quote, you know, the literature, sound good like the other people. Most of the time, you know, I wouldn't tell much of the truth. You know, it would be like, you know, like echoing somebody else. But, you know, like we come to the program, it takes practice like anything else. You know, we don't come here brimming with love, honesty, open-minded, and willing. We don't come here, you understand, you know, like sharing like a canary, you know, quote no literature real clear. The message sure ain't going to be clear. However, you know, because it got better. Like after 1 minute, then I was like rambling. Then it went to 2 minutes. And then the third minute, I was rambling again. Then that's why they give us 5 minutes. In case you don't know, that's why they give us 5 minutes. So usually when we knew, after we tell our name, you know, and we say we're glad to be here, yada, 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 and then you're like, okay, all right, you know, and we patient, you know, and then it gets better as we go along. Because now, you understand, we begin to live the program, and we have some experience, strength, and hope to share. But when I first come here, I didn't have nothing. All I need to know to tell y'all, you understand, hey, look, you know, I'm jammed up. Okay, Lonnie, thanks for sharing. You right where you need to be. Jammed up, what do you mean? Yeah, Lonnie, you jammed up. What do you mean by jammed up? Well, look, Lonnie, you know, you just come back using, you understand, after 25 years of addiction. Let's take a look at it. Yeah, okay, that's where it's supposed to be. Cause I didn't understand nothing. You know, I ain't had no steps in my life, you understand? You know, very, very, very little understanding. But I wanted what y'all had to offer, and I was willing to make the effort to get it. So I became the little mockingbird. I began to mock, you know. So I continued in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, you understand? And as I began, you know, to get some esteem, getting a sponsor, you know, getting a home group, begin to get some esteem, you know, okay, and, you know, my wife's sitting over there now, but this was before her time, you know, so that's my wife right there, getting a couple of girlfriends, you know, got a couple of girlfriends, and you know what I mean, I went to the barbershop, you know, and I began to get that fresh out of jail look again, you know, man, I mean, looking good, you know what I mean, I'll have me a nice little job down Goodwill, once in a while they throw me a pair of nice khakis, man, I was feeling good about myself, you know, getting that outside esteem. You know, I ain't worried about no inside, you know. You ain't going in there yet. Don't worry about it, Lonnie. You know, but the most important thing, they said, Lonnie, keep coming, you know. Keep coming. You know, I come in, you know, raise my hand. She done left me again. They said, Lonnie, keep coming. You know, I said, what y'all think? They keep coming. I said, man, I went over to my sponsor house. You know, it was my first sponsor in recovery. I love him. You know, and I was in a relationship with this young lady, and she used. And how dare she use? I'm your sponsor. If you'd have listened to me, you wouldn't use. So I called him up. I said, look, where y'all at? He was over, you know, another over his house. The whole crew was over there. And I said, y'all need to listen to me, man. I'm jammed up. I'm going to get her. They said, Lonnie, well, before you go, come by here and see us. All right. I said, well, I'll stop by. So I went by, stopped by. They set me on the bed and they talked to me. And they told me, this is what I learned. They said, Lonnie, they said, she'll get you high before you get her clean. And that's when I understood that what powerlessness was really about. But see, now what I'm leading to now is that it was time. It was time. When I say it's time, it's going to come a time when we surrender, you understand, and we get with that acceptance, you know, and we make up our minds that, yeah, well, you know, we're powerless over them drugs. But it's a lot of other things that we think that we ain't powerless over. What do you mean I can't help her? Lonnie, you powerless. Can you control your disease? No. Well, you can't control hers. So just sit your butt down right here. So I sat down, you know, and like I say, it passed. You know, I come back. I got with some sanity. I realized that, you know, feelings are feelings, you know, and I got with some feelings. You know, we cry, we talk, we go to meetings, we share. You know, and that's been 19 years ago. Long time, you know. But anyway, I kept coming, you know, and I've been into the steps. I'm going to fast forward a little bit because I don't have that much time, you know, and we're looking for our assets. Now, we going, you know, and we first got to have some keys. Now, first before, because assets, I found some assets when I did a fourth step. But before we get to a fourth step, we got to have some keys. Now, keys, you understand, is like, you know, if this door is locked, you can kick it down, you can knock it down, you know, that's not the proper way to get into the room. But that's how we always try to get things, with our defects. You know, our defects is what we used to use in order to try to sustain ourselves, you understand, in life. But I realized that principles will get me a lot more than my defects. So I learned, you understand, and was coming into the principles, you know, I've come out of step one, we had some acceptance, we had some hope, and we had some faith. Now, in step one, we get some acceptance. Step two, we get some hope. And three, we get that faith. Mm-hmm. We go into step four. We got to have that, you understand, before we get into that step. But we get into that step and we're looking for our assets. Because we go in here, now we're doing an inventory. An inventory, you understand, if you go, now, you know, we go inside, we're doing an inventory. We're doing a searching and fearless moral inventory. We're not looking on, we're looking at liabilities, you understand, we're looking at all those things. But what we find in there, too, is that we have assets. Because assets is something that I thought I never had. I thought I was just one big defect. And most of us believe that. I was just one belief. That's the disease, you understand, had stripped me. Had stripped me of everything. Anything, dreams, aspirations, and all of that. But in a fourth step, we find those assets and we go into them. You know, and when we start writing them down and we start taking a look and we realize then, wow, the journey thus far has been more revealing because now we're going on that inside. We're looking in here, you understand, where like Star Trek, where no man or no woman dared ever go in here, in ourselves, you know. Never mind, you understand, all this on the outside, because when we get in there, we begin to take off the mask, and we begin to get to the real reasons, the core of our diseases, and what makes us do the things that cause us the pain and suffering in our life. And I found out that defects had robbed me of my assets. But because of coming in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I was able to go in there again, and I was able to write down some things. I found out that being open-minded was an asset. I found out with just being clean was an asset. I found out that making meetings was an asset. You know, I found out that being open-minded, being able to make a meeting, being able to get with some acceptance and the hope, all those things I found inside. I found out that I was a loving and caring human being. I found out also that I was confused. You know, I found out because of the confusion that I had been in and the misinformation that had robbed me all of my life. I found out that as a kid growing up, that I was a halfway decent sportsman. I found out as a kid as growing up that I was a fairly good student in school. You know, I found out that as a kid as growing up that I was a good son. All those things was assets. So now I'm beginning to get the esteem that I need, because these things are going to need to be nurtured. But at least I know now that I don't need to go back. At least I know now that I have something to offer. At least I know now that I got something that I can work with. And now I'm working with something. I got something to work with now. I'm talking about now is that I got some hope. I'm talking about now, you understand, that dreams and aspirations and hope now become possibilities. I'm talking about lost dreams has now become awakened. We're talking about possibilities. I'm talking about now, you understand, that now that there's a God, you understand, that I turned my life and my will over to the care of my understanding in step three, you understand, is now, you understand, been giving me and carrying me all along. And I found out this God loves me even when I can't love myself. Even when I think that I can get away with it, you understand, he's still loving me. I found out, you understand, that this God will put us in places, you understand, that we never thought that we would ever, ever end up being. I'm talking about doing things that we know that did not come from us. And I'm saying this right here to say, now, we're talking about lost dreams awakened. I'm talking about all I ever wanted to be was an upright human being. All I ever wanted to be was just a good man. All I wanted to be was a good man. And I'm telling you that, you understand, if that's all I want and asked for, I would have cheated myself. Because I'm a good man, I'm an upstanding human being, I become a good father, you understand, I become a good friend in this program, but not only that, I become, you understand, a mentor to some youth in our community, and I didn't ask for that job, I didn't want that job. Wait a minute, God, ain't you got the wrong one? You got Country Junior, man, I'm whack, you know, I carry shotguns. I pull guns on people. What do you want me to do this job for? They ain't gonna let me do this job. I said, wait a minute, I'm going to do this right here. God said, no, you gonna do what I want you to do. So I surrendered. And today I've been on the job for 16 years and they call me Mr. McQueen. You hear what I'm saying, y'all? When I go in there, I know children, you understand, that go on. You understand, they go on to college. They go on to learn to love themselves because of me, because of the, and not only me, because of y'all told me, Lonnie, just take it one day at a time. You know, Lonnie, don't fight, don't kick, don't struggle. I had a good friend, and I'm talking about assets, because in our literature too, it tells us that we can find assets in other people. When we can't find none in ourselves, we find them in other people. And they say, Lonnie, don't worry about it. They say, you have a good spirit. You have a good heart. Don't worry about it, man. You're a work in progress. God gonna bring you around, man. Well, I'm here to tell you today that the guy that you see sitting here today, it ain't the guy that come here. I ain't that guy. We're talking about a change of idea, attitude, and behavior. You understand what I'm saying? This is the new Lonnie. The new Lonnie. You know, hope, that's right, brother. You know, because I told you where I come from. You understand? I told you, you understand, that here's a guy, you understand, that run around, wouldn't leave home. I didn't leave home without it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I had to have it in my pocket. If it was a knife, a pistol, or something, I had to have it. Misconceptions, misinformation. You understand that you got to be, in order to be tough, in order to be a man, you understand, you got to be able to get them before they get you. When y'all taught me in this room, first of all, Lonnie, you understand, you're powerless. Stay away from people, places, and things. You understand? Stay away from the people you use with and places you use at, and you're going to get better. And I realized that because I didn't go around that environment anymore, and I came around y'all, y'all began, and they say it ain't no such thing as osmosis, but y'all rubbed off on me. Now, I don't know, I ain't contradicting nobody, but y'all rubbed off on me. Y'all rubbed off on me. Because there were many days I wanted to get away from around y'all. Because I was afraid, you understand, because I didn't really know how to interact. But I went through the motions. I went up and hugged people. I quit using the profanity. You understand? I quit giving you that Joe Prison look. You know? I quit putting that old dipping in the hip and the fatal coolness and the terminal hipness. I don't ever want to live that way anymore. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I'm 50, almost 55 years old today and proud of it. You know, I don't want to be 30, 13, or 15, or 16. I don't want to be that no more. You understand? I love this program of Narcotics Anonymous. I love what I have become. If God don't give me nothing else, I'll thank him for what he already done gave me. I'll thank him for what he almost gave me. You understand? You see, we come here, you understand? You understand? If you knew we're coming here, that's right, baby. Come on, ride it out, baby. Because we used to say, you understand, some people say, you know, well, ain't no pink cloud. Well, I don't know. I beg the difference. You understand? Y'all let me have my grace period. Y'all let me have my grace period. But when God came knocking, you understand, and say, all right, the party's over, Lonnie. You got to go to work now. What do you mean? He said, yeah, you understand? You think that I saved you for you? You ain't saved you for you. I saved you. You got to go out there and help some people. Y'all, we got to help somebody. That's what these steps talk about. When you get to number 11, you're fine now. Work them steps. If you don't have a basic book, get one and read it for yourself. Then you won't have to run around and listen to what nobody else tell you. You'll find it for yourself. Find it in the book. That's where our hope is in these steps. When you get to number 11, you understand, you be all that you can be. And don't let nobody steal your joy. Don't let nobody tell you, you understand, if you ain't got no right to God or your understanding. They tell you, go to that 11th step and read it and find out. We don't, matter of fact, that ain't none of our business. It ain't none of our business what you do. We're a spiritual program. We ain't no religious program in here. But if God see fit to take you somewhere, don't. That's my God. Go right on, baby. Because he's going to have some work for you. You understand? Sometimes we come and we get to hate him. But God, I want to be a circus speaker. God said, no, I don't want you to be no circus speaker. I want you to be some, mop them floors and sweep the floors. And then we sit around and we get all hating up on people. It's a lot of work out here. It's enough work in here for everybody. Get involved in this fellowship. And I'm going to, see, and y'all didn't think I was going to come here and not talk about H&I. Oh, yeah. The unsung heroes. 85 and 95% of the people in the program of Narcotics Knowledge get here through a H&I message. Oh, yeah, we got H&I commitment. Don't take for 6 months. You ain't got to have 20 years to get on an H&I commitment. Get involved in service. Help somebody. That's what we do here. We help each other. Our predecessors. Don't talk about a predecessor around me because I'm a predecessor. And if you came here today and somebody come here tomorrow, then guess what? You're a predecessor too. So we all predecessors. So when we start kicking each other backs in, then we got to look around because everybody in here is a predecessor. We all are. Thank God that all of us don't get sick at the same time. Boy, we'd be in trouble. We will destroy ourselves from within. Don't get caught up in the conspiracy in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah, that who told you, Lonnie said it. Don't get caught up in that conspiracy, y'all. We are, diversity is our strength. Diversity, don't let nobody give you the mixed message. Diversity is our strength. It ain't about how much clean time you have or how much you have or how little you have. Only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. And diversity is our strength. If 20 of us get in here with 20 years of clean time, I'm the first one out the door. Because I don't want to be around you. I own, because we know too much. The newcomer is the most important person in here. Don't get it mixed up. Without the newcomer coming to these conventions, we all will be just sitting around here quoting the literature. Well, you know. But the newcomer is the most important person because they're the one. See, sometimes we get a little clean time and we miss the boat, those of us who've been here for a minute, because we get mixed up in how much we think we know. I don't know nothing. All I know today is I'm grateful to be a part of this program of Narcotics Anonymous. I need y'all. I need each and every one of y'all. I just got to tap what I got. Fine? Or do I need to close out now? Okay, all right, okay. Because see, what I'm saying here, y'all, you understand what I'm saying, is that after 20 years, I ought to have something to say. After 20 years, but understand it ain't so much about what I say, it's how I live. It's how we live this program. You understand, I live this program to the best of my ability. Excuse me, I ain't perfect, and don't ever want to be perfect, but I do want to get better. I don't want to be where I was last year. I only want to be where I was yesterday. You understand? What you're looking at here is a new, improved Lonnie. Yes. New and improved. You know, I bear witness, you understand, that this program of Narcotics Anonymous works. If you think for any minute that you here and you in the wrong place, keep coming. Keep coming back. And we offer you that no addict seeking recovery need ever die in the halls of addiction. Our message is hope. Our message is hope. And our promise is freedom. We're talking about freedom to live above and beyond our wildest dreams. We don't ever, ever, never, ever have to use again, no matter what, no matter what. We've lost husbands, we've lost wives, we've lost children, we've lost sisters, we've lost jobs, we've been diagnosed with fatal illnesses, and don't use. So we're here to tell you that if you have a reservation to use after you've heard this message, it ain't gonna work because you done heard the message. You done heard it. Listen, I pray that if I've said and shared anything in here to help anybody, then that help just comes from the God of our understanding. If I said anything in here to harm anybody, then that comes from me. I'm an addict. My name's Lonnie. Thank you.
like to thank Lon for the Clear Narcotics Anonymous message. And our second speaker now is Joy.
Hi, everybody. I'm Griff Hack, named Joy. Definitely clean through God's grace. We're grateful to get a chance to love myself just for today. First, I want to take the time to thank God for another day clean. You know, before I came here, I went to the bathroom, and I was saying a little prayer, and I got so much gratitude to thinking about where I could have been if I had not surrendered to the disease of addiction. And I got to thinking about a lot of things, you know, and the subject, looking for your assets, I was like, what? Assets? You know, because like before I even got in touch with assets, I was able to deal with my liabilities first. You know, when I got in recovery, I knew all the bad things that I did, you know, all the things that were not good about me, you know. I could be mean and, you know, I could be vain and I could be ignorant and arrogant and pompous and all those things, but I could never like get in touch with like my assets. And I want to thank you for talking about the fourth step, because the fourth step opened up the door. It wasn't how bad I've been, how good I could become. You know, how good I am, you know, and I took the opportunity to really understand, like, because I think about, every time I think about my first four step, it was just like the same old patterns over and over again. I was changing men like I was changing drawers too often. And like, just for the day, you know, that's not my story. You know what I mean? I had to come in here and do some things different. You know, I want to talk about a little bit how I got here too, you know, because it's so important to understand and tell a newcomer, like, look, we didn't come here brimming with love, honesty, open-mindedness, but we came here because we were hurting so bad. I don't know about anybody else, but I was hurting. If I could smoke coke and not feel the after effects, boy, I would have me a good time. But everything that come with it, you know, the degradation, the dereliction, you know, those things that cause me so much pain. I am so emotional right now because I thank God. I thank God for another day clean. You know, nobody may not understand it, but I understand it. You know, you talked about health issues and things like that, you know. I know when I first came in here, you know, I was like, well, what is good about me? You know, I could talk about being loving and caring and kind. That's real, you know, surface stuff. But also got in touch with, like, I have the ability to survive my emotions, right? I got the ability, right? Even though when I'm going through, when I feel like I'm at wit's end, I'm still able to survive my emotions and don't use. I'm still able to find out, you know, that I'm sick and still don't get high. It's stuff like that that makes me understand that, like, God has graced me to have the ability to do certain things. I'm a listener. I may talk a lot, but I'm a great listener. We get one-on-one, you got a good listener. You know, it is so important. You know, Lonnie talks so much about this fellowship because it's important to understand. If you're new here today, you may not understand, but keep coming back. You will understand. You'll get a better understanding of what this program is really all about. You know, I have so many good qualifications about myself. I know how to go to work on time. What? I can get to work on time, and how about early? I'm talking about half an hour early. What? This addict? Yes, because, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous, it taught me how to come early and stay late. But it taught me how to do those things, and I get overwhelmed. Like, I can go to my job, and just for the day, I don't cheat myself out of time on my job. You know, signing in at 8:30, and you know you didn't get there to 8:40. You know, I don't do that today because my job is important to me. You know, I'm a good mother, you know. I had to take a look at a lot of things because, like, when I used, I could not see any goodness in me because of what I had done to my children, you know, because I abandoned my children, whether I want to believe it or not, you know. My mother and father took the oldest child from me, you know what I'm saying? So that youngest one, she endured all that dealing with her mother, you know. And when I got into recovery, I couldn't see how good I was. All I can see, like, you did this, you did that, you tricked, you did this, you know, you left the kids, you stole from your family, you wanted to beat your mother up because she had your money, you sent your daughter to the store to go Christmas shopping, and you ain't even have no money in the wallet, but you blamed her for it. I'm talking about some stuff that I got in touch with, and in order for me to get in touch with any kind of assets, I had to really see my liability, because I'm worth something today. I'm in touch that I'm really worth something. Now, I don't really have high standards, but I got some morals and some values that I do stand on. And I thank God for the asset of the what I believe in. I believe it, and there's nothing you can do to shake me from what I believe in. And I think that's real important because, you know, if you don't, look, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I'm so grateful today that I stand on principles. I stand on morals. My nay is nay, and my no is no, my yes is yes. You know, and it's okay for me to be okay with who I am. Most of all, whose I am. You know, this process has offered me so much. I got a God of my own understanding. That's an asset within itself. Because thank God I'm not him. Thank God none of us are. Just imagine. Can you take a moment and just see God dealing with all our personalities? Huh? Just take a moment and see him like saying, oh, my God. Here she come again. What's wrong, Joy? You know what I'm saying? And I'm just so grateful, you know. I'm wife material. I'm on a second marriage, but I thank God for the opportunity to realize that I was able to work on me. Right? It's so important to work on yourself. You know, because for a long time I said, I'll never get married. My father used to tell me I was never get married because he said I had a mouth. Ain't no man going to tolerate your mouth. Right? He told me that for a long time. You ain't going to never get married. Yeah, you just got a mouth, child. You just talk. Yeah. But guess what? Narcotics Anonymous brought me the opportunity to look at myself, examine who I am, right, and be okay and really understand that I could become wife material. And I'm so grateful, you know, I'm grateful for this process. I'm just overwhelmed, you know, because I think about, like, the day a friend of mine died, you know, and I got it today, you know, from a girlfriend of mine. And it's real sad because, like, let me tell you something about, man, death comes when you least expect it. You know, you don't always, you know, you can't put all your eggs in one basket and think you're going to live forever. You know, and it may be sad for somebody, but I got a reality check. You know, my reality check, and I'm dealing with some health issues right now. That's why I'm grateful. I'm here at another convention, and I could have not been here. I could have not been here, but God's grace and mercy gives me another opportunity to show up for my recovery. And in spite of it, let me tell you, you get sick around here. But what you do when you get sick, do you hold on or do you give up? And I don't give up. I hold on. No matter what, I'm holding on. I'm holding on. And sometimes I go into, look, let me talk about my mindset. I start thinking, you know, because I get anxiety sometimes, and I start seeing how I'm going to die, and I get all these thoughts in my mind, you know, tubes here, tubes there, but that might not be the case. But I'm caught up sometimes because, like, my sickness is real devastating for me. You know, my kidneys are failing, right? And it's hard because, like, for a long time I tried to keep that inside of me. Because the more I kept it inside of me, the more I got caught up in my mind. Think about death, just dying. You know, disease, let me tell you something. This disease is so deadly. It don't tell me to use no more. It's to kill yourself. You know, take yourself out of here. I ain't got the guts to do it. So it's just a thought. I love me just that much. Not to take my life, you know what I'm saying? But those things that happen in life that, you know, you have to deal with, and you wonder, like, how do I deal? How do I get through? You tell somebody about it. You know what I'm saying? I have the ability to go in prayer and ask God of my understanding to do for me what I can't do for myself. Help me to hold on. Help me to reveal what's wrong with me, because there might be somebody in here who's having the experience or had the experience who can help me. Who can help me? And let me tell you this. I didn't want to tell this thing because I didn't want people to tell me, yep, that's what happened to you. See, she wouldn't listen. You know what I'm saying? Ashamed because I ain't do the right thing for the right reason. And I found out some other things. I've been a diabetic while I was using. I came in recovery and I found out that I was a diabetic. But while I was using, I had this disease. And I tell you, using and having diabetes take a toll on you. You know what I'm saying? When I came to recovery, I ain't ashamed to share, I lost all my teeth because I was smoking crack and I was a diabetic on top of that. But guess what? I got some new ones today. And they pretty as hell. Right? You know, but I'm just going through and I'm dealing with these things. But I know this too shall pass. I'm going to be okay. Because I'm going to talk about this thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, because like sometimes I need to share this, right? I do. Sometimes I get really upset when people go through stuff and people telling them when they should stop sharing about it. I think that's the worst thing you could tell somebody because you don't know what their mindset is. You know, I was in the media the other night. A young lady was talking about her dog. They had to put her dog to sleep. And people thought it was funny. But it was emotional to her. That was a part of her family. You know, whatever it is that affects you, you should be able to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm grateful that I do have the gift of gab. I am. Because I don't know what I would do if I didn't tell on this thing. You know? So I'm trying to live one day at a time and do the right thing for the right reason, you know? And then in my mind, it says, you know, it's a little too late for that now because you done messed up. But it's not too late. It's never too late. You can start over again. You know? And it's killing me on the inside. You know? My anxiety is taking me to a place where they think I had pneumonia. They thought I had asthma. They don't know what it is, but my breathing is all out of whack. You know, at night I'm trying to rest, but my anxiety kicks in so bad, you know, I can't sleep because of fear I'm going to die. You know, and I know this may not be a part of looking at my assets, but I'm looking at the fact that, like, if I tell on this, I have a better chance because once I get caught up in my mind, I'm stuck. I'm stuck, you know. Today I try to not to appear to be, you know, holier than thou, but I want to live a righteous life. You understand what I'm saying? I want to be an upright person. That not to be self-righteous, but God-righteous, you know, and God-centered. I do believe in that. And I do, I practice not cursing too, you know. I got to share this, right? I was in another meeting, somebody shared, said, well, if, you know, you allergic to cussing, I think you need to leave the meeting now. Well, I sat there for a few minutes. And then I said, yeah, because I don't want to hear all that cussing. And I got up and I left. You know, want to sit there just to save face and say, no, I'm all right with it. You know what I mean? But really deep down inside, I'm not. And see, when I'm talking about this because I'm not all right when I curse. You know what I'm saying? That's not for anybody else. But I'm not all right with me. You understand what I'm saying? I don't like all that. I just don't. It doesn't, for me, it's not attractive as a woman. You know what I'm saying? Or for a man either. But I'm just saying, it's just something for me. You know, I have the ability, right, a good asset to see when I start cussing like that, I need to take an inventory and ask myself, why? Why am I talking like that? Why can't I put other words in to sound better? You got a dictionary. Look up. You know what helped me to stop cussing like I did? I tell you, I started looking up, saying certain words, like I'm blanked up. You know what I'm saying? Saying the F word, I'm effed up. I looked in the dictionary, and then I used it in a sentence again. Did it make sense? No, it doesn't make sense, you know. So I have the ability and I got the opportunity to say yes or no for me, you know. And a lot of days, you know, I have people in my life who always tell me, say, you think you're perfect. I said, no, you have to understand that's your thought process. That's how you view me. You got to understand. And what I found, and it's not being arrogant right now, but when I'm right, I'm right. And I've been sharing that because of some fact, when I'm right about something, you can cancel it. Ain't nothing happening. I'm going to be true to myself. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm wrong, I take the opportunity. I look at myself, and guess what? I take a 10-step inventory, and if I'm wrong, I promptly admit it. Now, my promptly admit it may not be when you want it to be, but sometimes I have to marinate stuff. You know, to say, like, what part of that? And I also got in touch with when you start asking yourself, was I wrong? Then somewhere along the line, you was. For me, I know that when I got to ask myself, did I say that in a bad way? Yeah, you really did. You know what I mean? You really did. And, you know, then I go back and I admit that I'm wrong, you know. I don't have problems with that, you know. But I do sometimes get tired of everybody talking about you think you're perfect. And they talk about if a dog bark once or twice, you know, then you might be the dog. But I don't agree with that concept because a lot of times it's what you think. If you're thinking that I'm perfect, then it's something you need to ask yourself, why do you think I'm perfect? Why? I have never once said I'm perfect. You understand what I'm saying? And like just for the day, I know that I'm not, but I'm growing so much in this process. You know, I was talking to my sponsor last night and I was telling her, you know, she had asked me to do an assignment and I haven't done the assignment yet. To thine own self be true. You know, because I get lazy. I don't know about anybody else. It's like, who wants to write? No, I'm alrighty. You know? But like just for the day I'm gonna take a suggestion. All she want me to do is write, like, live in the program. What did I do today? Did I, you know, was I nice today? You know, did I talk to somebody in recovery today? You know? Did I speak to her? You know, that kind of thing. And it's so important. It's little stuff, but it means a lot. You know, I'm so grateful. God knows I'm so grateful. I am grateful to be at a Capital Area Convention. Some said it wouldn't work, but guess what? They don't even know. God got the final say. You know, and that's so important. And that's what I accept in my life, too. That's one of my greatest assets. I'm learning to accept God's will. God's will don't always feel good. Now, you have to really accept God's will. When I mean, it can be so painful sometimes, especially when he tell you no. You know, and you be like, what? You sure, God? Wait a minute, God, let me. God, but look, see, if you just let me, just for the moment, you know, and he'll say no. And I get upset sometimes because when he says no, it's like that self-centeredness sets in, like, well, why? You know, because I went through the why me's too. I was like, why is all this happening to me? Why? God, why me? You know, but I think about how God takes us and uses us as an instrument to be a guideline for somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? See, because long as I don't use, because I had some predecessors who died and going on, but they didn't use. So they're a light for me. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's so hard because, like, and Lonnie talked about how, like, God want to take you other levels, right? And then you got people hating you because you want to change and you want to do better. You don't want to remain the same and they can't handle it. They love it when you're talking about, you know, you're going crazy and, you know, you're a mess up in a relationship. They love all that stuff. Oh, they want to hear that. They're like, yeah, child, Sharon. Oh, yeah, go. Uh-huh, child. Yeah. But when you start talking about, like, the godly aspect of this program and talking about how God is motivating you and helping you, I'm mentoring too. You know, I mentor pregnant women. You know, I thank God. Like, every time I look at the assets, like, I went back to school, I got my hairstyling license, right? Look, went to school and became a foster parent, right? What? Me taking care of somebody else's children. An addict like me. Those are the assets. I was sitting back, and this is the honest God truth. I was taking my inventory, but I was doing my obituary, right? And I was like, whoa. I've accomplished more than I ever thought I would accomplish, you know? And I'm being the best person that I can be. It's okay for change. It's okay to let God take you to a place, huh? It's okay to let him use you. It's okay to be obedient to allow him to do it. Man, I am so grateful for my life today. I'm like you, Lonnie. If he ain't done nothing else, he done enough. You know, the God of my stead has done so much for me. I am so indebted to him. This Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, I'm indebted because y'all gave me a life that I thought I could never have again. I never thought I would stop using drugs. I never thought I'd be a mother to my children. My children can tell you right now where I'm at, not even knowing where I'm at. You understand what I'm saying? They already know, like, mom is either somewhere in the meeting because she ain't answering her cell phone. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. I got some grandchildren. I got some grandbabies, man. And they love grandma. They love grandma. All they do is, look, I'm talking, yeah, assets. Look, they say, grandma, can we come over? Grandma, and then I got this little 3-year-old who's been here before. Oh, my God, she's been here before. She's got this spirit about her. And let me tell you, I got to get honest. I didn't like her when she was born. Because my daughter did the same thing that I did. Ended up having 2 children, you know, different fathers and stuff like that. And I was like, you shouldn't have done that. You should have stayed with the one. And then the father, he had such control of her that the baby even looked at me. She just went, ah! You know? But today, that little baby loved me, and I love her so much. You know, my grandchildren mean a lot to me. You know, I would die for them. I really would. You know, and it's not to make up for lost time, because I can't make up the time with my children that happen when I use. But guess what? Courage to change the things I can.
Right.
And the wisdom to know the difference. I know the difference. I know the difference. I know the difference when I'm manipulating. I know the difference when I'm being true to myself. I'm talking about some assets, man. Huh? Today I got an asset that I walk with my head up. As big as I am. Right? Have some assurance of who I am. Huh? I'm talking about some assets of looking at myself and saying, you know, you look good today. Huh? You're beautiful. In spite of. You know what I'm saying? Taking out the time to take care of me and do some things for myself. You know, and then after you've got out, allowed you to do for yourself, he said, now help somebody else. Go and help somebody else who gonna need you. You know, my earlier story about me and men, it was all for a reason. For me to help some other woman or some other man who was gonna walk down the same aisle and say, how did you get through it? One day at a time. What? One day at a time. I stopped doing a whole lot of things, man. And got scared at one time because I wanted to fit in so bad. You know, trying to fit in. I want to be a part of. But sometimes God sets you aside for his own agenda. Lonnie, you talked about how, God's business is not mine. I need to learn to mind my business when it comes to him. Because he got the final say. You know what I'm saying? But I can't tell you how much I am indebted to Narcotics Anonymous. A life that's worth living. Huh? When I look around, I see people who just coming in or been around when I was around. I thank God. You talked about that diner piece. And that's what I do. I take people to the diner still. I pick up people and I take them to a meeting. I don't care if they live in Yardville. You understand? I'll go get them because they need a meeting. You know, some areas, you know, thank God for the literature. I thank God that I'm a part of the literature. Bring the literature to life. Go and do some. I dare you to take the opportunity and go do some service work. Get on service, huh? I was in charge of registration for a couple years ago. Man, look, I was a thief by trade before I ever used and handled all that money and never thought about taking a dime. What? That's an asset. That is a true asset. To be able to handle other people's money and not want to take it. I work on a job where what I do, I get money back from people who frauded or got money they shouldn't have got. I see checks, money orders, money orders blank. I told you I was a thief before I ever used drugs. But I thank God the money is not enough to take. I'm talking about some assets. I got some assets today. You know, I can talk fluently. I can be cool, calm, and collected. Huh? I can get with, you know, intellectual people, have a conversation. I can get with the chill people, chill with you too. You know what I'm saying? I'm real versatile in my life. And I think that's, and you talked about the diversity. It's so important to understand. It doesn't matter who I'm with. I can get involved. You know, thank God for identity, talking about race, creed, religion, lack of religion, sexual identity. Thank God. Thank God. Because if that been the case, man, a lot of us wouldn't be in this meeting tonight. This afternoon, a lot of us wouldn't be here because talking about, the color they skin ain't right. I don't like the way they got their hair fixed. I don't like who they are. You understand what I'm saying? And some of us do it. But I thank God that's not my story. That's not my story. I'm so grateful that I can fit in and be a part of, learn to grow. I have so much love in me. And sometimes it become overwhelming. And you know what the greatest thing that I struggle with is people loving me back. I struggle with that. When people want to love me, I'll not accept it. But I can give it all to you. Whatever you need, you can get it. You know what I mean? Except for my money. I'm serious. I'm real funny about my money. You can't have my money, you know. And I say that because, in fact, one of my assets is that I learned not to borrow money. The reason why, because I don't like to pay it back. I don't like you come asking me for your money. What? I know you didn't come ask me for your money. I give it to you when I get it, knowing I got it. So just for the day, I don't borrow people money. I like my own money. You know, I don't know. I just thank God that in spite of my sickness, I can still come to a meeting. And you know what? One of the greatest assets I have, I can be me. It's so important to be who you are. For so long, I tried to just be here, be there, because of no self-acceptance. And some days it's still hard to accept the condition that I am in. But guess what? I don't use. I don't get high. And I want to share with the newcomer, if you're here for your first time, you'll never got to use again. No matter what, you don't have to get high. Your father, your mother may die, but you don't have to get high. Relationships might break up, but don't get high. Don't get high. Tell somebody. Let somebody know where you at. And even though it may say, because the disease will tell you, oh, that sounds crazy, don't share that. It will do it immediately. But you tell. Because that's another day just to save your life. You know? We are here to talk about our feelings and emotions and how we don't want to use no more. You know, because once we put the drug down, we still got a deal. Huh? We got to deal with bills. You know, the bill collector. You know, paying rent or a mortgage. All those things. We still got a deal. If we never, ever use, we still have to deal with life on life terms. You know, because when we get clean, we get overwhelmed about like, oh my God, I got to pay rent. Oh my God. Oh yeah. We get all upset about it. But just think about it. If you never use drugs, you still be paying rent or paying a mortgage. You still be like paying the light bill, the cable bill, the luxuries of a phone. You know, all those things will still be there. So what do we do? Surrender quietly. Let the God of your understanding do for you not only what you won't do for yourself, but what you don't even think about doing for yourself. Because he can give you peace when you can't seem to find none. You know? I thank God for the 11th step. The 11th step has brought me to a place, you know, and it's okay. And I keep stressing that it's okay to be who you are. Because the more you keep trying to fit in somewhere else, you'll be miserable and unhappy. Learn to be who you are. Learn. You know, I don't know, I think I've just said enough. But I just thank God for the opportunity once again to be able to share my experience with the hope, to give back what was so freely given to me. I'm grateful. I'm a grateful addict. If you never find no gratitude, just think about you clean right now. Just think about it. You could have been somewhere else. Huh? Could have been dead. Because you picked up for your first and your last time. But you're here. Sitting here saying, look, I choose to surrender today. If you don't believe anything that you've heard, look around this convention and believe what you see. Thanks for letting me share.